Welcome to church again. My name is Elise. I'm not sure if I've met every single person in this room, but if I haven't, I would love to meet you sometime. You may have noticed that we have a lot of, feminine women, on stage and in front, and it's great. That's one of our values. We believe in empowering and championing women for ministry. But it kind of happened to be a coincidence, to be honest, that we had all these women kind of serving today. I mean, an awesome coincidence because we love that. My husband is downstairs. He's the youth pastor here. He's organizing for our soup lunch after the service. And Mark Davis, our lead pastor, is away right now. He'll be back next week. But I just wanted to let you know, it just kind of happened to be a coincidence, an awesome coincidence, but a coincidence nonetheless. We are going through our sermon series, continuing in our sermon series today on the life of Moses. And this has been an awesome series for us. Moses is a figure that most people know in the Bible. Even if you don't know anything else about the Bible, you know Jesus, you know Moses, and maybe you know Noah. Yeah, you know Noah, right? He's one of the figures that we are most familiar with, but we've kind of been looking a little more in-depth into his life, into his journey, into some of the things that he was doing, some of the things that he said. And we've been looking at what God has been doing in Moses' journey, because God was with him every single step of the way. Last week, we had Pastor Kara Lee preach on the moment of Moses' call. The moment of his call at the burning bush, where he had to take off his shoes and he spoke with God about what God was calling him to do. And we learned that God calls us to be part of his mission even when we don't necessarily feel like we are up to the task. We may feel inadequate, we may feel like we can't do it, but God continues to call us and empower us for the mission that he calls us to. Today we're going to be looking at a very different moment in Moses' journey. This is way kind of after this moment of the call. We're going to be looking at the crossing of the Red Sea, or the Reed Sea, depending on how you see it. We're going to be looking at the crossing of the Red Sea. Now, again, this is one of those stories in the Bible that we are the most familiar with. Am I right? I mean, you either learned about it through, you know, flannel graphs at Sunday school, or you watched a movie about it with Charlton Heston or Christian Bale in it, right? It's one of those stories that we are probably the most familiar with in the Bible for good reason. It's miraculous, it's action-packed, it's very dramatic, it's the kind of stuff that makes for a really good movie. It is. It's made of that stuff that makes for a really good movie. But there's another aspect to this story that doesn't always get talked about. And that aspect of that story is what we're going to be covering today. And that has to do with how we handle challenges and our walk with God. As many of us in this room know, just because we choose to follow Jesus, or just because we experience the love of Christ in a very real and powerful and meaningful way, just because we've experienced or know all these things doesn't really exclude us from going through difficult situations or challenging situations that really kind of rock our faith, right? We're not excluded from the reality of difficult situations, whether it's whether it's a difficult choice that we have to make, a hard choice that we need to make, or whether it's a situation where somebody really hurt us, where, you know, we struggle with hurt and we struggle with trauma. Sometimes we struggle with just a sense of anxiety. Sometimes we struggle with grief. Sometimes we struggle with anxiety. Sometimes we struggle with insecurity. There's a lot of things that we can struggle with that can really challenge us and seem like something that's so difficult to get through. And when these things happen, we get discouraged, we get frustrated, and we feel like walking away. That's what happens. We get discouraged. We get so rocked that sometimes we feel like the only option is to walk away. No matter how great our journey with God is, all of us face these situations at one point or another. All of us encounter these challenging situations that really kind of rock our faith. I compare it to being like on a road trip. Has anyone here ever been on a long-ish road trip? You know, something that maybe took more than a day? Anybody? Nobody? Some people? Yeah, okay. It's like being on a road trip. I would compare it to that. No matter how much you like road trips, and if you don't like them, I mean, how much more? But if you like road trips, even then, if you like being on the road and you like traveling in a car, even on road trips, there are moments where you start to think to yourself, or you maybe even say out loud, I can't wait for this to be over. Right? Or why are we doing this? Why are we going in a car? No matter how much you like road trips, this is like you always have these moments. I love road trips, and I've had this moment. So my husband and I, Christian, we went on a road trip to California about 2 years ago. California is about a 20-hour drive. And we went with another couple. And we were going to Disneyland. And Disneyland is a lot of fun. It's awesome. It's exciting. It's also expensive, right? So we were kind of like, okay, well, how can we save money because we're going to go to Disneyland? And we thought to ourselves, well, let's take my car, which is a little Hyundai Accent. Like, if you know cars, that's one of the smallest cars that you can get. Let's take the Hyundai Accent because it's good on gas. And instead of staying in a hotel, let's drive through the night, or let's pull over at a rest stop and sleep for a couple hours, right? Let me tell you, I love road trips, but there is nothing that makes me question my life choices more than trying to sleep in a Hyundai Accent with three other grown adults, two of which are over 6 foot. There is nothing that makes you question your life choices. And I remember I was leaning against the window and my right leg is falling asleep. And I am thinking to myself, why did we do this? I cannot wait for this to be over. I mean, you should ask Christian about some of his road trip stories. He's had way more. But I remember that feeling of my leg is falling asleep on both sides, and it was just terrible. And I remember that moment of, why did I do this to myself? I cannot wait to be done. All that to say that every journey has moments of frustration and pain and fear. Every journey, no matter how much you're enjoying it, there are always those moments of frustration, pain, and fear. And the Israelites, the nation that God was calling out of Egypt, experienced plenty of those on their journey to the land that God promised to bring them to, even in miraculous moments like the crossing of the Red Sea. Now, to bring us up to speed for our text today, this text, the crossing of the Red Sea, takes place after the 10 plagues, after the Passover. After many attempts to get Pharaoh to let them go, Pharaoh finally relents and he decides, okay, you guys can go, like, get out of here. Bad stuff is happening to us, so leave, right? Pharaoh sends them off, and they travel far enough to get camped out by the sea. They travel for a while, and then Pharaoh changes his mind, because this is what he does. Pharaoh changes his mind again, and he decides to take the full force of the Egyptian army himself and go and get them back. He drives his soldiers out there. He drives his chariots out there because chariots were a big deal back in this time. Chariots were a huge technological advantage in war. He drives his chariots out there. So here we are. This is where we're at now. The Israelites are camped in front of the ocean, and they have the full force of the Egyptian army behind them. They are stuck between a rock and a hard place. They are stuck. And that brings us to Exodus 14. Here we learn from Moses three simple keys to responding to challenges in our walk with God when they arrive, when they come. We learn three simple keys from Moses. Stop, listen, and go. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus 14, verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Now, when we read the Bible, it's easy for us to forget that these are stories that involve real people, right? These are stories that involve people who experience fear and doubt and anxiety, anger, just like we do. And in this passage, we see an example of a response to fear, a very real response to fear that we can all relate to. The Israelites begin by crying out to God. They're afraid, so their first instinct is, God, help us. And that's a great response. That's a great initial response. But their fear quickly leads them to become angry, quickly leads them to anger. And in their anger, they begin looking for someone to blame, right? Pass the buck on to someone else. They begin looking for someone to blame. And who better to blame than the man who started this whole situation, the man who brought them out of there? Who better to blame than the man who is responsible for all of this, Moses? Who better to blame than the man who dragged them out of Egypt in the first place? And listen to the way that they talk about the past. The way that they talk about the past, they say things like, wasn't it better back then? Wasn't it better for us when we were there? When we were back in Egypt, wasn't it better for us back then? And of course, they are forgetting about the fact that back then, they were slaves subject to backbreaking labor. They never got a rest. They never got a break. And not only that, but Pharaohs in the past had decreed that their children should be murdered. They're looking at the past with these rose-colored glasses because of what's in front of them right now. See, fear makes us do crazy things. Fear makes us do crazy things. Fear, anxiety, doubt, anger, all of these things cloud our vision so that what we're looking at, when we look at the past, it looks a lot better than it really was. Fear clouds our vision. It clouds our vision of what actually happened. And it's not just the Israelites that do this. I mean, how often have we looked back at the past and gone, man, I was better off then. I was way better off then. Or I would be better off if I had done this, if I had chosen differently, if I'd done something different back then. How many times have we looked back at the past and gone, man, I really wish I would be so much better off right now if I'd just chosen differently. We may say some variation of this, right? Like, man, I would be so much happier right now if I didn't choose to take on that new job, if I didn't choose to step into this new challenge. I wouldn't have to learn all this new stuff. I wouldn't have to deal with new coworkers. I wouldn't have to deal with all this stuff. I would have been so much better off if. Or I would have been so much better off right now if I had never gotten married to this person, right? I would be so much happier right now. I would be so much better off. I would be so much more satisfied with my life if I had never decided to marry this person and deal with them in my life. I would be so much happier in my life right now if I had decided to not serve at my church or become a Christian or take on or tell someone that I would take on this leadership responsibility. We say in our heads, the past becomes a little bit clouded and we start to look at the past with rose-colored glasses because fear clouds our vision. Fear clouds our vision. And I think sometimes it's not even just we look at the past this way, we look at other people this way. When we're afraid or when we're anxious or when we're grieving or when we're angry, we start to look at the person beside us and go, man, I would be so much happier if I had that person's life. Man, I would be so much better off if I were there instead of here. Man, I would be so much better off if I had married this person instead of this person. Man, I would be so much better off if I was in this person's job and not my own job. We start to look at the people beside us. We start to look at other places. Our vision starts to wander, and we start to look at everything else and go, man, I would be so much better off if. When the journey gets hard, when we make decisions and the going gets kind of rough, we start to forget why we started the journey in the first place. When we experience fear or anger or doubt, we start to forget why we started walking with God in the first place, why we started walking with our spouse in the first place, why we started the journey in our careers or our jobs or school or whatever. We start to wonder why did we do this? We start to wonder why, we forget why we started the journey in the first place. It's a very real response to fear, to being scared. It's a very real response. Well, Moses handles the harsh words of the Egyptians with a lot of grace, probably more grace, honestly, than a lot of us would give to them. He handles them with grace. He, instead of throwing harsh words right back at them, he offers comfort to them. He offers a little bit of, you know, like, it's going to be okay. He offers a little bit of comfort. And he tells them to do three things. He says, don't be afraid, stand firm, and be silent. In other words, stop and listen. When we feel stuck, the solution is not to crumble. It's not to retreat. It's not to run away from the problem. No, the solution is not to go anywhere. The solution is don't go anywhere. Stop right where you are and allow God to direct you. This is what one writer says. Despair will cast you down, keeping you from standing. Fear will tell you to retreat. Impatience will tell you to do something now. And presumption will tell you to jump into the Red Sea before it is parted. So instead of doing these things, instead of letting our fear, our presumption, our impatience, our anger take over, instead of letting those things happen, pause. Whether it's for 5 minutes, a day, a week, or a month, pause. Breathe and pray. And additionally, we need to be silent. Be silent. We need to stop talking so that we can actually listen, because that's kind of implied, right? Stop talking so that we can listen to what God would tell us to do next. Stop talking about how much better things would have been if. Stop talking about people that you're angry with, people that you have a grudge against, people that have hurt you. Stop talking about them. Stop talking about how miserable we are and how much better we would have it if. Stop talking because it's time for us to listen. In those times, in times of challenge, in times of fear, it's so much easier for us. I'm a verbal processor. Is anyone else, you know, a verbal processor with me? That's how I am. I start to talk. I start to go on, and it drives Christian crazy sometimes. My husband, he goes crazy because I'm like, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? Right? We should do this. We should do this. We should do this. And that's my initial response. But what this direction from Moses reminds us is that when we're talking, we're not really listening. So instead of talking, instead of going on and on and on about if or what or how, just stop and be silent. Stop talking so that we can hear what God is saying and listen for directions. Let's read on. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host and his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Now, one of the potential questions that I saw arising out of this passage was the question of, why does God say that he will harden the hearts of the Egyptians? Why does God say that he is going to harden their hearts? Doesn't that seem a little unfair? Doesn't that seem like it's a little bit, I don't know, doesn't it just seem like he's, you know, it's not very fair of God to do that? Well, in the passages leading up to our passage today, we see that Pharaoh had actually been pretty busy hardening his own heart. In fact, it says that all the way through his dealings with Moses up until, I think, the sixth plague, it says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Pharaoh hardened his own heart long before this point. And God had made many efforts to change his mind. He had tried to convince him through Moses, through signs and wonders, through words and prayers. He had tried to convince the Pharaoh for a long, long time of the fact that he was God and he was in control. He tried to soften his heart for a long time. In fact, God gave him a lot of chances. He gave him so many chances, but he wouldn't change his mind. So instead, his hard-heartedness will be used by God as a cautionary tale. It's a cautionary tale of what happens when we harden our own hearts against Pharaoh. I mean against God, not against Pharaoh. Instead of hardening our hearts, we can choose to listen to God and his word and act on it. We have chances every single day, every day that we wake up and we draw breath. We have an opportunity, a choice before us to live for God or to live apart from God. We have a choice every single day. And the fact that we are all sitting here today means that we have a choice in front of us. Harden our hearts to God or open our hearts to God. Every day is an opportunity, a new blessing of grace to let God in. Don't harden your heart. Don't put up a wall. Let God in and allow him to work in us. Let God in and listen. In our passage, God invites the Israelites to act. He invites the Israelites to act. He gives directions to the people, and these are words of action, right? Why do you cry to me? Go forward. In other words, chop, chop, let's move, right? He's hustling kids off to school in the morning. Chop, chop, let's go. Come on, 2 minutes, let's go. They're words of action. Why do you cry to me? Go forward. And I think the encouragement that we can get from this text today is that when God calls us to move, when he calls us to go on a journey of faith, when he calls us to leave behind Egypt and move forward into the promised land, when he calls us to leave behind the past so that we can go into the future, he is not going to leave us high and dry. He is not going to leave us on the road. He's not going to leave us in the car. He's not going to leave us there without any way of getting us there. He's not going to leave us in a car with no gas. Essentially, he's not going to bring us to a certain point only to abandon us. That's not God. We can trust that he will make a way for us to get there because the God that calls us there will get us there. When he calls us to leave behind our old ways, when he calls us to leave behind the things that are weighing us down or holding us back, God is not going to leave us high and dry. He's not going to tell us to do something and then not provide a way for us to do that. God is going to get us there. God is going to make a way because he is the God that fulfills every promise in his word. He is the God who is a good father that takes care of his kids and attends to their needs. He is the God that plans to give us hope and a future. These are all things that his word tells us, and it is true. This is who God is. This is who God is. He is the God that makes a way where there is no way. If he calls you to it, he'll get you there. He'll get you there. This is who God is. And the obstacles that are in front of us and the threats that are behind us, no matter what the future looks like, no matter what past we're leaving behind us, they do not change the fact that he is in control. He is the Lord of heaven and of earth. He is sitting on the throne. He is in control. He will find a way. And if there is no way, he'll make a way. He'll make a way for you to get there. And the fact that there are things in front of you and threats behind you doesn't change that fact. When that way appears, when God makes a way for us, though, it becomes our responsibility to take the steps forward and to actually go, right? It becomes our responsibility. When God makes a way forward, when he shows us the way into the future, when he shows us a path, when he makes a way where there was no way, it then becomes our responsibility to go forward, to take steps. Why do you cry to me? Go forward. It becomes our responsibility to take the steps needed to get there. It's like this. If my husband wanted to learn how to play guitar, if he had told me for years and years that he wanted to learn how to play guitar, and I bought him a guitar, I got him lessons, I gave him the book Guitar for Dummies, I don't know, like I bought him all the stuff that he needed in order to learn how to play the guitar, he still wouldn't know how to play the guitar unless he picked up the guitar and learned how to play guitar, right? It doesn't matter all the equipment I get him. It doesn't matter all the books I get him. It doesn't matter all the things that I give to him if he's not willing to pick up the guitar and start playing. It doesn't matter if he's not willing to take the steps in order to go forward in his learning. And in the same way, when we pray for something, when we stop and we listen, and then we need to take, there comes a time when we need to take the steps required to actually get us there. If we're lonely and we pray for friendship, we pray for deeper relationships, we pray for life-giving companions that can actually pour into our lives, if we pray for all of these things, there will come a time when we need to actually step forward and invite someone out for coffee or get connected to a ministry or get connected to a life group. There comes a time when we need to take the steps in order to see that happen. In the same way, if we are unhappy with our families or with our marriages or with things that are going on with our kids, we can pray. We can pray that God would restore relationship. We can pray for healing in our families and in our marriages. We can pray for all of these things, but there may come a time when we need to take the step forward by going for family counseling or going for marriage counseling or going to a leader or a friend that we trust and asking them to help us move forward and to actually heal. If we are praying that, you know, we would grow in our relationship with God, if we are praying that we would not be stuck or indifferent, or we were praying that we would, you know, be able to step up to challenges in our faith, if we are praying for all of these things, that's great. But there may come a time when we need to actually take the step forward and take the step forward and act on it when God presents the way. All this to say, there are so many things that we need to stop and listen to God for. There are so many things that we need to stop and listen about when it comes to God. But there also comes a time when it is our responsibility to go forward. It's our responsibility to take the steps that he's laid out in front of us. There comes a time when we need to step on the dry ground in the Red Sea. There comes a time when we need to be the ones to take the steps forward in order to get to the place where God has asked us to go. There comes a time for action. So stop, listen, and then go. Don't forget to go. When the Israelites stopped and they listened and they went, the result was the biggest moment of their history. The crossing of the Red Sea was this moment of God's salvation that ended up defining who they were as people. It's what they based their national identity on. It's the moment they are constantly called back to. They're constantly called back to remember this moment. The prophets, the priests, all these people, they call them back to this moment of God's salvation. It's the biggest moment in their history. And it's no wonder, because God led 2 million people, men, women, and children, out of slavery into a place of freedom and blessing. That's a big feat. That's pretty impressive. That's why it makes for a good movie. 2 million people out of a place of slavery into a place of freedom and blessing and abundance. It's the work of a big God. But as incredible as the crossing of the Red Sea is, it was really just the beginning. It was just the beginning. This miraculous feat anticipated a much bigger act of salvation, a much bigger moment. Can you imagine 2 million people? That's just the warm-up. 2 million people out of the land of slavery into the land of promise. That is just the warm-up. That's just the movie preview leading up to the feature presentation. That's just the appetizer on the way to the steak dinner. That's just the beginning of what God was planning on doing. Just the beginning. When Christ, God himself, made a way for all people to be led out of the slavery and oppression of sin so that they could enjoy the freedom and blessing and abundance of life in the Spirit. That's just a warm-up to the most incredible act of God in the history of the world. This was just a warm-up leading up to the incredible act of salvation that God accomplished through Christ for all people, not just 2 million, but 6 billion and counting. 6 billion and counting. When God called us to be in relationship with him, he himself made it possible by laying down his life to set us free. He laid down his life. He made a way where it seemed like it was impossible. He made a way for us to be in relationship with him. He made a way for us to be led out of slavery. He made a way for us to be set free. He made a way for us where there was no way. He made a way for us then, and he is faithful to make a way before us now. I don't know what you are walking through in this room. I don't know what is in front of you. I don't know what lies behind you. I don't know what challenge you're staring in the face. I don't know what past and what baggage you're hanging on to behind you. I don't know any of that. But I know that we serve a big God. And I know that we serve a God who makes a way where there is no way. And I know that we serve a God who makes all things possible through Christ. I know that we serve a God who is bigger than the challenges in front of us and who helps us to let go of the things behind us. I know that that's the God we serve. So I can say with total confidence that no matter what challenges are in front of us and no matter what threats lie behind us, God makes a way. God always makes a way. He did it then, and he'll do it now. So don't be afraid. Stand firm and be silent. Stop, listen, don't forget to go. Can I pray for you today? God, I thank you so much that you are a God who is so much bigger than all the things that lie in front of us, all the things that lie behind us. God, you are so great. And even all the worship songs in the world, all the preaching in the world could never do justice to your character, could never do justice to who you are. We pray right now, Lord, for all of us in this room who are struggling with challenges, who are struggling with their faith, who are struggling with the past or with the future. God, we pray. For those people, for those of us in this room right now, we pray for you to be over the situation and God that you would be within it, guiding us, comforting us, just like Moses did to the people. We pray, Jesus, that you would bring strength and God that you would give us courage and boldness to move forward into the future. God, we pray that you would give us clear vision, that fear would not cloud our vision, fear would not cloud our vision of you, God. The cross before us, the world behind us, no turning back. We pray, Jesus, no turning back. We love you and we thank you. In your name, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. If you don't have lunch plans, we would love to see you downstairs at our soup lunch fundraiser. All the proceeds go to our youth group. But if not, we'll see you next week, same time, same place. Thanks.